evening. Eric Francis back with you a day later. Here with some astrology afterthoughts and your tarot reading with the Voyager Tarot by Dr. James Wanless. Get one, they're awesome. Okay, so here's the astrology afterthought. Obviously, could say 50,000 other things, but this is the one thing. The impact, the influence, both, of your astrology on other people. Two main points about that. First point is Pluto in the first house, Pluto conjunct the sun, is about impact. It is about your strength focusing, coming through, and actually having an impact on the world. This is to say that you are coming through louder and clearer than normal, and that people can feel you and sense you and take your statements and their experience of being with you as louder, as something with more impact than you might ordinarily think that you have. And you already have plenty of impact, though you might not be inclined to think that you do. With Pluto working, you even might still be inclined to think you don't have, but you do. And so what is important to do is to be aware of that influence, that impact, and to moderate your how you project yourself. I don't mean hold back. I don't mean what's the word? Prune yourself at all. What I mean is just be conscious of how and what you project, because though it seems like you are, you know, going through a lot and all that, you may not connect that with the other side of that experience, which is the impact of your transits on other people. The second part of that is with Uranus in the fourth house in Aquarius, that is the image of the wave machine deep beneath your psychic kind of top layer down below. And that too is having an influence on other people, because normally you are the rock of stability. You are the, you know, the one who keeps the tempo down to a moderate beat. And now you are in this extraordinarily restless mode. You are energized and not exactly this stalwart individual that you were, so it seems, and other people are going to feel that emotionally, and they will feel your sense of inner quest, your sense of, this kind of high voltage mystery, and that too will have an influence on others. And really the most important thing is to be aware of this and to be open with people about the kinds of experiences that you're having and what it is about this time in your life that is so different and so exciting. And I recognize it may not necessarily be easy to put these things into words, but do your best. And if someone is intimate with you, they should know how you feel about your own existence, because it will help them be your friend, be your lover, whatever they might be, piano teacher, and they will help by compensating a little bit for this kind of unusual kind of energetic surge that is coming through you. Could be great fun for them also, in various ways. I'm sure you can use your imagination. All right, let's consider some tarot cards, again by someone I admire greatly, Dr. Wanless, a historian and consultant and artist who came out with this deck in the mid-80s, and one of the things that he wanted to do was bring the tarot out of the knightly, courtly era and illustrate the energies and the scenarios of the tarot, the basic things that we go through with modern imagery, but not have it be, I don't know, not have it be something that it managed us to very well not be. It's, the whole deck is made from collages, from cutouts in magazines, he said. They did not get permission to use one single image, he said to me, face-to-face, in person, over dinner, at a sushi restaurant, where I asked him, like, how do you do this whole thing? And he said, yeah, we just cut all the pictures out of ads, basically, and kind of glued them down and made this collection of beautiful collages. The one image they got permission to use is the DNA strand on the back of the cards. I'm not sure what research institution they got that from, but they were granted permission. I don't even think they paid for it. But in any event, the result is this really beautiful deck that is the one that I like to read for other people with the most. You keep a lot of decks out, but when it comes time to do a dependable, trustworthy, hopefully, reading, I use the Voyager deck. So just shuffling away here, I use a double deck, kind of large cards, and there's two decks in one, so that it's possible for cards to actually come up twice, which I've always thought was an interesting way to do things. So that's how I do it with this particular deck. Alrighty, let's see what we got going on here. I'm going to draw the cards face down first, and then turn them over. And as always, there's a photograph of the spread. And at the end of the reading, I will list off the cards for you in case you want to recreate the spread, although there is the photo. And there's not direct correspondences between the suits in the Voyager deck and the suits in the deck you may have. You know, there's no equivalent of crystals or something like that. All right, as the first card I draw, I turn over the fourth card first, because that is the card of intent. It's the card of what you want in this fictional illustration of your life. And because I figure that's the most important thing. I'm a bit of an Abraham head in terms of the idea that what you want is really important, and focusing on what you want is a thing to do. And what we get here is the Hanged Man inverted. Now, under house rules, most of the time, I don't use inverted cards. Some decks, you know, encourage, they give interpretations for inverted cards. I'm a bit more from the Crowley Tarot tradition in some ways, and there's no use of inverted cards except for when it's really obvious that the card should be inverted. Like how hard the client thumps the card down on the table inverted. It's like, okay, let's just leave it there. It belongs there inverted. And this one does because it says, stop waiting. Hanged Man inverted. Let's go. We'll see if that gives any more information. But now, first card here, we have Six of Pentacles, also inverted. Okay, I'm getting, notice how good you have it. There is the possibility that you are carrying some sadness from some previous cycle of experience in your life, some previous relationship, some previous phase of your reality, and that sadness is hanging over you in a way that is interfering with your ability to experience pleasure in the present moment. Some attachment to something negative that happened, some fear, some lack of trust, or just the impression that a sad scenario has made on your emotional body that is hanging out there. And the message of this is, be aware of that, and if you can, let it go. And one of the ways to let it go is to take that step of consciousness around what you are feeling and knowing, and often just recognizing that that is what you're feeling, recognizing that you may be holding on to something is a very helpful first step in letting it go. Second card, recent past, several months past. Courage, nice one to have there. Given the challenges indicated by the other two cards, the implied message here is, despite that, trust courage. Courage is your forward motivation. Courage is your impulse that drives you, and it's the heart-centered quality that gives you permission to live in the way that you want and need to live. Okay, third position, that which surrounds you, where you kind of are at now, and that is the inventor, the man of crystals. It's kind of got the feeling of an air sign, that inventiveness of Uranus. And the implication here is that despite whatever emotional challenges you may have been through, you are still committed to being bold and to taking the steps to create your own life. Kind of interesting non-paradox there. It's a fully appropriate response, I think. I'm speaking in the logic of these cards. Okay, next position, that which is before you. That's fifth position, and it's the Eight of Crystals, and it is called in this deck Synthesis, and that looks good. That is like what you do to create something new out of the existing elements of what you have. It's similar to the inventor, because a lot of what inventors do is synthesize things, whether it be, you know, chemicals or plastic or whatever new thing they might make, a new metal. The invention process is typically a process of synthesis. Okay, next position, and that is about resistance. In the old spread, in the Celtic cross, it's your negative feelings. And what I've done in my process of modernizing the Celtic cross spread into this one, which I call the Celtic wing spread, which I invented about 20 years ago, approximately this week. This is resistance. And let's see what that says. Ah, the devil. Now, here's this might not be easy to interpret. Okay, the devil is one of the most feared cards in the tarot. But the thing about the devil is that it is a fictional entity invented as the kind of antagonist to God in the Christian Bible. And so understanding how to construct a good convincing plot, the people who made up the Christian version of events needed, you know, God is good and the devil is bad. And so we get this imagery of this kind of tension between good and evil. But those of us who study the tarot and pagans and various other types, astrologer types, recognize something here. First of all, the spoof element in this card, because there is one. And second, it is a card associated with Capricorn. And so if you take your instruction for what this card means from Capricorn and reverse engineer it into the devil, you find out that what we really have is the card representing the materialization of things, the formation of things. It's the third image in the spread of materialization and formation, inventor, synthesis, and the devil. It's also, therefore, a card that would represent you in the tarot, and, you know, Capricorn can be a bit devilish, and there's a reminder to be friendly with your devilish side. And what else? That was a thought I had that I forgot, but maybe I'll remember it. And, you know, it's here in the position of what you're resisting. And so the implied message on a couple of levels is don't resist yourself. Don't resist what you want the most. That's kind of the devil thing. Rather, at least if you're feeling resistance, notice that. I'm big on this gestalt, what are you aware of thing. Okay, let's move on. Relationship positions. These are positions 7 and 9. And I work with those together. As you probably heard me say once or twice, the old spread only has one position that evaluates environment and relationships. It's kind of like the seventh house of the tarot spread. My Celtic Wing spread has two, which is not that many more, but at least it is twice as many as one. And so there's some comment underneath these cards about your relational experiences. And what we find is the moon. That's the planetary body that is the ruler of your opposite sign, Cancer, as well as the card for harmony. And so the making a sentence out of this, which is what you kind of need to do to get meaning out of these cards, because they take on more meaning in context. This, by the way, is why looking up cards in a book doesn't really help that much, because the book never gives the context. The context of the harmony in the relationships is, appropriately enough, your opposite sign, the moon, Cancer, also related to the Chariot card, but this is the moon card. And there is another implication here of going through the emotionality of something to the real harmony, going through the past, an image of the moon, to the deeper beauty in the relationship. This is an especially magnificent moon card, perhaps the first moon card with an actual photograph of the moon in the card, not just a picture of the moon and the dogs howling, and the wolf and the dog howling and all that. We get this classical, looks like Greek statue. I wish I knew who that was. Maybe you'll recognize that. And there's also a reminder, wherever the moon is present or the sign Cancer, to honor the cyclical nature of things, to recognize and remember that things have waxing and waning phases that come dependably, and to allow things and people and relationships, experiences, and events to cycle, to go through their cycles and take the ride a couple of times. I mean, for example, if you're trying to get to know someone, at least give the experience a couple of months, where you might be, you know, gently persistent during that time, or step back a little bit, but recognize that people, in waking up to what they want, what they feel, who they are, often need to cycle around a bit and kind of see things from all perspectives, and then go through that again and see things from all perspectives again. And beyond that, cyclical quality and past quality and kind of personality quality of the moon is the card harmony, the Eight of Wands. The Eight of Wands is one of the cards I consider to be one of the trump cards hidden in the lower arcana. There's a few of them. I can't pull up a list off the top of my head, but there are certain cards in the minor arcana, the suits cards, that I think of as having the full influence of a trump card, the higher deck. And the Eight of Wands is one of them. It is basically the card of A-OK. Things are moving and in, you know, kind of flying in formation and parallel. James takes the Wands card, Wands suit, because this suit does match, only he illustrates it with a violin, a flute, a harp, a lyre, a bunch of other instruments, trumpet, music, looks like a clarinet, and a drum, and so forth, and makes that about the things that we make out of wands, which are often musical instruments. Okay, last card in the spread, outcome at present course and speed, Knower, the Sage of Crystals. Mr. Einstein, Dr. Einstein, Professor Einstein looks down over this card with that knowledgeable, inwardly knowing, cosmically aware face. And there is something in this card that says, trust what you know, but know that real knowledge is something that emanates from the cosmic order. Knowledge is something that is tuned, borrowing an image from the Harmony card to a higher principle than just factual information. This is real knowledge that we're talking about, the Sage of Crystals. Okay, one last card, a kind of a summary card. Here's another one, inverted, that I'm going to leave inverted. The card is Anger, and the inversion of this card says, forget it, let it go, is no point. You're just burning your energy if you're angry at something. And there is a strong message coming through. Three of these cards that I'm leaving inverted, because they, to me, belong that way, I'm saying, stop waiting. You do not need to delay. Let go of that painful situation that may be, in some ways, hanging around over you or like lingering. And finally, if you're feeling anger, let that go. And the place you will be taken basically is a place of knowledge and harmony with the world and with the people around you. Alrighty. That is what I have to say to you this year for this birthday reading, my Capricorn cousin. And what else can I suggest here? Well, let's see. I do recommend checking out, if you haven't already, Cosmophilia, You Belong Here, for Capricorn. There's a whole other reading. The thing with these readings is there's so much information that, even though I've been now talking for probably close to an hour and 45 minutes in this reading, I feel like I've just scratched the surface, though I do try to stick to the salient points. And I'll see you somewhere else over at Planet Waves. All kinds of fun stuff we have going on almost every day. There will be a teleconference about this reading. If you'd like to take part in that, check your email. There'll be either an email from me or from Chelsea announcing the date of the reading, of the conversation. That, looking at a calendar right now, it is not going to be next week. It will very likely be the week of February 9th. That's right around when Mercury goes direct. So look for that announcement right around the time that Mercury goes direct. You'll be able to participate in a phone call where I'll be sitting right here and able to listen to your thoughts and answer your questions. So we have that to look forward to, and it is included with this reading. All right, once again, thank you for your patience with the delay in this. And if you would like to reach me personally, write to me at dreams@planetwaves.net. If you do not hear from me pretty quickly, it means I missed the email, so please do me a small favor and send it again. And thanks for listening. By the way, that is Brian Eno in the background. And stay in touch.